if you've ever had a warm bowl of noodles and broth, maybe some sliced beef, there's a decent chance that you've tasted the traditional Vietnamese noodle soup, pho. And pho is hitting the big time here in Wisconsin and around the country. So today, it is Pho Friday, and our next guest has been making her own pho for decades since leaving her home country of Vietnam in 1975. Andrea Nguyen joins us now. She's a cooking teacher and the author of the Pho Cookbook, easy to adventurous recipes for Vietnam's favorite soup and noodles. Andrea, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Well, first off, what is the state of pho? Do people, by and large, know what this is, know where to get it, and how to enjoy it these days in the United States?
I think that people are discovering it or they're hearing about it, whether from friends or from shows like this one, and they're exploring it. And they're saying, hey, you know what? This is something that is... easy to eat because pho is the sort of natural habit your way food, because you know you can have beef or you can have chicken, and there are vegetarian versions too, and you can really like kind of have it, you know, however that you'd like to, with the addition of herbs and stuff, and it's like relatively healthy. It's not a super fatty thing. So I think people, there are like in urban areas and also in university towns where pho is very popular, but pho is going into a lot of places. I found over the years that it's going from the margins into the mainstream.
And for folks who have yet to make that pho discovery, can you describe it? What is a traditional bowl of pho?
So if you can imagine, you know, this warm bowl of fragrant, clear broth that smells of spices, you know, cinnamon, star anise, and then you've got it garnished with green onions and cilantro, and the noodles are flat and made of rice. And you can maybe have thin slices of beef in there. And you have these garnishes that go with it, and you can add to the bowl. All together, you know, you've got these chewy noodles, you've got this fragrant broth, and you're eating it with both, you know, chopsticks in one hand and a spoon in the other, and you're just slurping up this wonderful warming soup that is great for, you know, a nice lunch. It can or breakfast in Vietnam. It can be dinner.
Sounds like it could be anything.
It could be any time of the day. And it's just, for me, pho is a comfort food. And it all depends on whether you grew up with it or if you're new to it. Some people can be a comfort food because it's a great hangover food.
And you fell in love with it when you were very little, and you have this, it's very, sounds like a very strong food memory of your very first bowl of pho, and it stayed with you.
It has. And when I was still living in Vietnam, my family was from Saigon, and my parents oftentimes took us out to eat at their favorite pho joints. So if you go to Vietnam and eat pho, you know, oftentimes you're sitting in these very low chairs at these tables, and at that time there were these wooden benches and wooden tables. So there I was, about 6 years old, and I just worked my way to the bottom of the bowl by myself with chopsticks and spoon in hand. And I just slurped up all the noodles and the broth and, you know, little bits of meat, and I just thought I was in heaven. I was completely hooked on soup from that point on. And happily so, my parents were very proud of me that day.
And since that day, you've developed very strong feelings about pho, and you even wrote an essay for NPR, and it was called Don't Call It Ramen, Why Pho is Central to Vietnamese Identity. Can you tell us what's behind that piece? Why did you want to write that to set people straight?
Well, you know, as pho became more popular in recent times, and this, you know, I wrote that essay last fall, and it was a reaction to a video that was released by a national food magazine in which they had a white chef from Philadelphia giving people instructions on how he enjoyed pho. And I thought to myself at that time, you know, it was an interesting, if not kind of blah, video. But I thought, why did they pick a white person to do this? And they didn't even give him a chance to explain what his personal connection to pho. Instead, he's telling people not to put sriracha in it and hoisin sauce. And, you know, Vietnamese people like myself, we started coming here since 1975, fleeing from Vietnam. And America has become a very multi-ethnic and transnational country with regard to, you know, ideas that are floating into our culture and certainly food, too. So my thought is that as we discuss foods that people are discovering, such as pho, we should have a multi-ethnic, multi-racial conversation. And when I saw that video, I was disappointed that here's pho, the national soup of Vietnam, being interpreted and presented by a person that is not Vietnamese. And, you know, Vietnamese people to a certain extent own that dish, and I think that they should have gotten, they could have put a Vietnamese person on screen with the white chef so that they could have a dialogue and really be, you know, something that's interesting and meaningful. Instead, it was like a clickbait piece, and I thought that that was just not, it didn't do much service to people, and so I felt that I needed to say something.
Right now, we're talking about pho with Andrea Nguyen. She is a cooking teacher and the author of the book, The Pho Cookbook, Easy to Adventurous Recipes for Vietnam's Favorite Soup and Noodles. And Andrea, I do want to get to the recipes, and you were kind enough to share a couple of them with us that are up on the Central Time Facebook page. But you were starting to get there at the history of pho, and it's a really interesting one. Can you give us a snapshot of the story that led to pho?
Sure. So anybody that looks at a bowl of pho thinks, oh, my God, it's like this really ancient food. And it actually isn't that old, even though Vietnam's history goes back like thousands and thousands of years. Vietnam's pho developed around the turn at the beginning of the 20th century. So we're talking, you know, the early 1900s in and around Hanoi in the northern part of the country. And at that time, you had the French colonial people in power. You also had a lot of Chinese people working along the Red River there, and you had Vietnamese people. So you're talking like three cultures rubbing shoulders and exchanging ideas. The French colonials wanted steaks, and the Vietnamese were not used to eating a lot of beef because cows, like water buffalo, were mostly beasts of burden. So why would you want to kill, you know, your vehicle for plowing the fields and transporting goods? But the French began slaughtering cows, and there were these scraps left over. And so a lot of the cooks for the French colonials were Vietnamese, if not Vietnamese, Chinese. So they disposed of their scraps, maybe taking it to butcher shops, coming up with new ideas themselves. And one of the ideas was to tweak an existing noodle soup that was made with water buffalo and start using beef bones and other scraps. Because guess what? There was a sale on beef, and there was a lot of beef cows being slaughtered. My mom, who was born in the 1930s, remembers the aggressive cow slaughtering that went on. And so, you know, a lot of people have said, oh, well, pho sounds like French pot-au-feu, but it really has its origins in the mixing of cultures. And through my research, I found out that the word pho actually means two things to Vietnamese people. It means the noodle soup itself, as well as that flat rice noodle. So if anybody's had like chow fun, you know, Chinese stir-fried rice noodles, those are the same noodles as what's used in pho. They're just different widths.
Right, and it seems like if you're making your own pho, you know, from your cookbook here, you've got lots of examples. You can use a bunch of different sized noodles, and it's still pho.
Yes, it is. You know, you can use really super narrow ones, you know, linguine. You can step up to fettuccine if you'd like. And then if you want to stir fry, pan fry, or even deep fry pho, you want to go for the really wide ones, so like pappardelle with. And, you know, those noodles, surprisingly, are pretty, you know, much available. You can certainly buy them online, certainly buy them at an Asian market, but also regular American supermarkets carry noodles that are oftentimes called pad thai noodles. or rice sticks. That's such a bad name, you know? Mm. But those dried noodles are fabulous in a bowl of noodle soup.
And you've shared, as I said, a couple recipes, and I want to talk through one now. It's called Quick Chicken Pho. So what do we need to get this one going?
You know, all you need to do for that is 40 minutes, first of all.
And, it's not too bad, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because oftentimes people say to me, oh my gosh, I've been told that it takes an overnight simmering to make pho. And I'm like, what are you going to do, have a pho pop-up? No, you just want to feed yourself and your family members. So 40 minutes will allow you to make two really nice quick bowls of pho. And I use store-bought broth. And so my go-to broth is Swanson's, and I love, like, the chicken one or the beef broth as well as the vegetable one. And you're just going to doctor that up by, like, sautéing very, very quickly some ginger and green onions, and then you add the broth and some water, and then you're going to simmer that for a little bit. And if you're making the chicken one, you would add, like, some chicken thigh or chicken breast and let that poach very gently in the broth, and pull the meat out partway through, and then you're readying your noodles. And then once the broth is finished simmering, which is around 30 minutes, then you strain it, and then you've got your noodles ready, and then you put the noodles into the broth, and then dish everything up into your bowls, and you're ready to go in 40 minutes. And, you know, there have been times when I'm just too tired to make pho from scratch, or I don't have anything in my freezer because I maintain a frozen pho bank sometimes. You know, that little, like, quickie pho is what I use, and I wanted to make pho available to people, you know, of varying interests and dietary needs. And so the book has recipes for, you know, people who want chicken, beef, and vegetarian pho. And so there's even, like, lamb and seafood pho recipes in the book, too.
We're talking with Andrea Nguyen right now. She's a cooking teacher, and she's the author of the Pho Cookbook, Easy to Adventurous Recipes for Vietnam's Favorite Soup and Noodles. And you can get that recipe that we just talked through. It's called the Quick Chicken Pho on the Central Time Facebook page, and you'll find another recipe there as well. And you can join the conversation right now at 800-642-1234. Do you love pho? And if so, what variation do you order? Do you make? Do you have any secrets or any questions about how to do it right from our pho expert? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We're picking up our conversation with Andrea Nguyen. She's a cooking teacher and the author of the Pho Cookbook, Easy to Adventurous Recipes for Vietnam's Favorite Soup and Noodles. And Andrea, we're talking through a little bit ago the quick chicken pho, and that recipe is up on the Central Time Facebook page. And earlier you were also talking about the controversy over whether it's okay to squirt hoisin sauce, for instance, into the soup. Where do you come down on that one?
You know, everybody has a pho style. And I tell people, if you want to know, like, maybe a potential, you know, spouse or something, go out and eat pho with them. And you can, like, see how they doctor up their bowls and compare it to your approach. So I have this notion that, you know, if I'm going to spend time putting a really nice bowl of pho together with really lovely broth, I don't want to be, you know, like, squirting sriracha or hoisin sauce directly into the bowl, because it totally obliterates the nuance of the broth and what makes pho-ish, which is this, you know, interesting nuance and dance of spices and you know, proteins and also the garnishes and everything. So if I'm going to have my hoisin sauce and my sriracha, I'm going to have them on the side in a little dish, and I make a little yin-yang pattern because it's cool and fun to do that. And then I just will swipe a little bit of the meat or the noodles in there before I, you know, deliver them to my mouth. And with chilies, you know, using, like, a really great fresh chili is terrific, because fresh chili heat, whether that comes from a jalapeno or a serrano or a Thai chili, and now that we're heading to summer, there's so many wonderful chilies coming into the market. It's a different heat. It's really bright. And it, like, assault your senses in a different way that sriracha does. Because sriracha, which is a Thai sauce, it's not a Vietnamese thing, it's got a lot, it's very vinegary and very assertive and kind of garlicky. So I always try to tell people, you know, pick like a good fresh chili and start with that. And then, you know, for the squirts of lime, with the if the broth is a little too sweet, the lime is a great counterpoint. And then set the spent lime outside of the bowl because sometimes that lime peel kind of is bitter. And, you know, with your herbs, you want to tear off the leaves and then drop them into to your bowl. And people oftentimes think that if you don't have Thai basil, it's not pho, and that's just not true. Mint is a go-to pho herb, and that's what I grew up with because it was not always easy to grow Thai basil. And Thai basil is like a seasonal thing. It's a summer herb. It's a hot weather herb. So, and we weren't like going to buy it all the time. So we grew mint, and mint grows like a darn weed. So, you know, like use mint, and it's very refreshing.
We're talking with Andrea Winwright now. She's a cooking teacher and the author of the book, The Pho Cookbook, Easy to Adventurous Recipes for Vietnam's Favorite Soup and Noodles. And we're talking about pho today. It's becoming more and more popular, this iconic soup from Vietnam. We heard some of the history before. And we have a couple recipes up on the Central Time Facebook page. And you can share any questions or comments you have right now about pho. We've got an expert on the line. Have you tried pho? Do you go out of your way for it? Have a favorite way to cook it? Or maybe you want to try it and want to know how to get it right. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Andrea, for someone who's just sort of tiptoeing into the pho arena, maybe they haven't tried it before, what is it? What do you think a good way to start? What is a classic version that you think will give them the best sense of what the dish is?
You know what? It's beef. And beef is like the classic pho bowl. And, you know, many people define pho as being beef because I remember when I started writing the book, there were people who said, chicken, there's a chicken pho. And then there were people who said, no vegetarian, no vegan pho, that's not pho. Well, you know what, there's a lot, pho can be defined in many ways, but what mostly people fall in love with is the beef version. So I suggest that people go to a little pho shop if they have one, or they can try out the quick beef pho recipe in the book to get a sense of how the flavors come together. But go to a pho shop, and the menu is sometimes very challenging because there are many different options. But what you want to think about is what kind of meat do I want? Do I want to be adventurous and eat a lot of different textures? Then you get like the works, the special bowl. Or maybe you just want to get the cooked beef, which I actually really love because when you make pho and you're simmering a bunch of brisket in the broth, that brisket picks up all the flavors of the broth. And then when you have it in the bowl, you're getting the full expression of what pho is. Uh-huh. And, you know, you can always, yeah, and it's really lovely. You know, people always go, oh, I want, like, the rare steak in there, too. But you know what? Like, for kids, for example, I remember I started eating pho, and it was just the cooked beef, noodles, and broth. And that's what got me hooked.
There's so many different layers that you can add to the pho. It seems like that's sort of it sounds like a pun, the fun. The fun of pho is that you can do so many different things with it.
Correct. And, you know, and you can have fun with it. Vietnamese food is not full of rules. It's full of parameters. And it's a cuisine that, flavor-wise, I describe the flavors as rolling hills and valleys. It's not peaks, you know, of flavors and craters. I mean, it's really like this undulating set of flavors, and you can plug in many different ways, you know, with pho. Just like if you've had banh mi sandwiches, you know, the Vietnamese sandwiches, it really is a similar notion in that you've got you can call the shots on this. And the great thing about pho is that every single mouthful can be a little different. So if you're new to Vietnamese herbs, you can add a few at the beginning. And then if you don't like it, you don't have to add any more. But you can just keep adding more if you'd like. And with those bean sprouts, you don't have to put the bean sprouts in the bowl if you don't want to. Some people say that it kind of cools things down a little bit or introduces a flavor that's too kind of much of a contrast with the rest of the bowl. So you don't even have to do that. And if you want to, and I'm not sitting there with you, you can squirt the hoisin sauce and the sriracha directly in.
Well, you were saying that some people think it's sort of heretical to have a vegetarian pho, but you did give us a recipe for one. And I eat vegetarian a lot of the time, not all of the time, but this one looks pretty simple and pretty tasty. It's called Quick Vegetarian Pho. Can you walk us through this one?
Sure. And that's a lovely, lovely bowl that is made with, again, canned vegetable broth or, Swanson Whole Foods. I love their vegetable broth, too. And it's cooked in a similar way with, spices like star anise and a little cinnamon and a little clove. And then instead of fish sauce, because it's vegetarian, you use a little soy sauce, or you can use Bragg's liquid aminos or Maggi seasoning to give it a little bit, meaty oomph. And then I add vegetables to it, mushroom and maybe snap peas. And I love, like, this seared tofu that is very, very easy to make in less than 10 minutes. And I just slice that up and put it into the bowl. And it comes together really, really nicely.
And it looks so delicious. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Veronica. Thank you.
That was Andrea Nguyen, cooking teacher and author of the Pho Cookbook, Easy to Adventurous Recipes for Vietnam's Favorite Soup and Noodles. And you can find recipes for two of these pho bowls on the Central Time Facebook page. We just heard about the quick vegetarian version. Check it out, and happy cooking this weekend.